Hey, it's me. I'm Nick. You're listening to A Certain Degree. On this episode, Melissa and Sarah, two of the producers and hosts of the incredible show Monday Scaries, are here. Melissa has a workshop coming up, an introduction to comedy writing, starting on September 8th. So I wanted to put this out there because she talks a little bit about her approach to comedy and to writing and teaching. And Sarah also has a new thing. I think it's new. I'm hoping it's new because I want to sign up for it. She will send you mail once a month. Just go to stinkydogart.com to learn more about that. And now on with the show. Paul McCartney on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree. That was My Brave Face. I think that's how he would have wanted us to say it. Paul, yes. McCartney, a longtime visitor of Rollins College.
Right? That's what I've heard. I've heard that that is true,
yep.
But I don't know the connection because...
Stepson.
That is it, stepson.
Went to school here.
Right.
Yeah. So he would come here all the time. Mm-hmm. He actually did a... they finally convinced him to do a little talk back for the students.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
And so the faculty and staff kind of revolted when they heard it was just going to be for students. So they had to split it up and make it half students, half faculty staff. There was a lottery. At the time, I was director of web strategy. So I was in charge of the collecting the information and doing the random lottery. So I got
good
tickets.
For you.
And yeah,
the man
we did
running
it
the lottery got tickets.
Over in the church. It was really nice. And 10 rows back. And at the end, he did acoustic Blackbird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that is actually available online because he talks a lot about his creative process and the time in Germany with John and all of that. It was a great talk. That is available online at the Rollins YouTube channel if you want to watch that.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. I will be Googling that.
I'm kind of wondering, like, what do you think Paul McCartney would do that would be like a scary thing outside of his comfort zone? Like, if we had Paul McCartney
on Monday Scaries.
What would we make him do?
Impressions.
Some impressions. I think just doing stand-up.
Paul stand-up.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Paul stand-up.
Oh, me too.
Yeah,
he can talk about fame. He could do like a Seinfeld bit. I don't know.
What's the deal with my accent? I can't do it.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
It was, you know, John.
Boo, boo, boo. It's that Liverpoolian.
Yeah. And I'm George.
Yeah.
That's my best. That was it. As good as it gets.
That's how you get focused and centered. Good morning. My name is Nick. I have some very special guests here. Melissa and Sarah are here from Monday Scaries, among other things, so many other things that you both do in and around town. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of those things. And I think let's start with the workshops that you do, Melissa. So there's one tonight that is sold out. So I'm so sorry.
It is sold out.
But you have other ones coming up, including Improv Workshop for Women, Louder Than You Think.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have some very special guest coaches.
Yes.
One of them is here today. Do you want to say anything about her?
Oh, this one?
Please be nice.
Okay. No, I do. I feel really beyond lucky to have Sarah Drew and Emily Fontana to come in and help out with this workshop. It's going to be a really great time. It's almost sold out, so if you're listening, buy now. There's, I think, two tickets left.
I was trying to buy them, and it said, no, you're not a woman, so I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, wow. We do have some filters in there.
Yeah. Good job.
Click the stop sign to prove you're a woman.
it's going to be a great time. That is July 10th. And June 10th.
June 10th.
Right.
It's around the corner.
It's around the corner. Oh, my gosh. June 10th at the Castleberry Rec Center. And it's presented by the Corner Gallery. So you could check out the corner.gallery to see more workshops available. I love teaching improv. It's one of the things that I just super enjoy doing, especially seeing how people can just adapt and change just in real time, and watching that happen is super fun. Yeah.
How do you get someone? This sounds like a more advanced workshop than, you know, maybe an intro one. But how do you get somebody over their initial, you know, I can't fail. I don't like to fail. Mm-hmm. Failing is bad. But with improv, that's, you know, 90% of it. So how do you get somebody over that initial hump of, OK, it's OK to mess up. It's OK to be wrong. It's okay to say something silly or that doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah, I think First of all, I super empathize with that position because I think growing up, I was a hardcore perfectionist in school and things like that. So in sports, anything, I would just be like, I missed the swing, I missed the grade, all of the things.
I noticed that when I sent over the outline, you were like, you just grammatically changed everything about it. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, I used color coding for different things like syntax and tone.
Wow.
I know, it's just, it's just the way it works. But no, in all reality, I think getting over that hump is super hard. I think that finding out that, oh my gosh, it's actually okay, and this is actually how I get better at things, is through failing. Mm. One of the things, my favorite stories that I teach other things as well, including I coached a robotics team for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And the student had built this robot. And he had programmed the robot to play tic-tac-toe. It was like artificial intelligence, all this stuff. And he wanted to test the robot out on his friends. And the robot kept losing at tic-tac-toe.
Ooh.
And all of his friends were like, your robot's really stupid. Why is your robot so bad at this? And he just looked them in the eyes and said, well, that's how it learns. That's not how it's always going to be. Yeah. But in order for the program to work, it's got to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that robot is now ChatGPT.
Yes. Exactly.
Good job.
Thank you, Melissa, so much.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I take full responsibility.
It also is the plot for War Games with Matthew Broderick. So that's nice as well.
Oh,
if you've never seen that movie.
I haven't. I was thinking of Player Piano by Kurt Vonnegut. There is a robot machine. I don't think they're called robots. I think they're just called machines. And it plays chess, and they get upset when the machine loses at chess.
Yeah.
Oh. But now we should really know that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's learning. It's learning. So what are some of the things I was curious about? This one is specifically for women. Question for both of you. The comedy scene. Growing up, like, I mostly heard of men who were in comedy. It skewed very masculine and male and not great for women or people of any other inclination, basically, other than white, straight men, for the most part. So what has the comedy scene been like for you guys for the last few years, whether that's improv or stand-up or anything else? And what has been your experience with maybe some of the other comedians in town?
Good question.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Much talk smack. I was mostly thinking of, like, Emily Fontana has been around, for comedy for a long time. And, I think she and Amanda and other comedians and other performers try to bring people up more than that.
Totally.
And I think it's hopefully a little more supportive. I don't know if stand up is, but I feel like improv is.
That's a great point too. I'm not in the Orlando stand up world and haven't been. In Chicago, I didn't do stand up either. I mean, I tried stand up. Oh my gosh. I had nightmares for 2 weeks leading up to it. So I don't. I've only done it anyway. Okay.
Okay. So this tight five that you're doing later during the show,
that's pre-recorded.
That is not, okay. Great.
That's pre-recorded.
Yeah. That is ChatGPT.
Yes, it is. My experience, I'm so lucky to say, I can't think of any recent to me bad experiences in terms of feeling like disrespected or unwanted or dismissed as a woman performing comedy. I think that maybe towards the beginning of my career, you're around greener people when you are green. Mm-hmm. And saying green just to me, like new, like you're a new green blossom. And the easiest ways to make people laugh is shock. And growing up, I think we all have heard some shocking, mean things to say about all sorts of folks. And so if you're desperate for a laugh, you can pull out one of those. And now that I have my feet underneath me, I can't think of a proper metaphor, but now that I've got more experience, I think that I'm tuning out anybody that I would think, oh, they're not going to respect me. I've got a sense of that now, so I'm going to avoid that. And so where I'm sitting right now, I'm like, oh, there's no problems. Actually, everything's perfect. But that can't be true for everyone because the world isn't. But I feel really lucky that there have been, especially in Orlando, I know the women that I perform with are so supportive and really eager to give the other women stage time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, I'm going to be on stage. Will you come join me? Or we tried to do that with Monday Scaries too, of like, there's not enough women. Let's reach out and ask people to do stuff. Similar to Adam reaching out and being like, Melissa, you're going to do stand up now. Yeah. There have been times that we've been like, we've got, shout out Kathy.
Shout out Kathy. Yeah.
Shout out Kathy. She is a Monday Scaries regular. If she's not on stage, she's typically in the crowd. And we can be like, hey, Kathy, can you like do something? And she's like, yes, I will. And every time she nails it, she does a great job. And I feel like I'm really lucky because Emily and Amanda, speaking of, have given me that opportunity where they're like, we're doing a show. Can you come and just do stuff with us? And yeah, that's how I've been able to feel really included.
So as far as Monday Scaries go, the curation of it and the representation within it is important to you guys too. So Absolutely. It's not just whoever the first 10 to sign up.
Agreed.
Right?
Yes.
So it's there is some editing that goes into picking out who's going to perform.
Yeah, I would say we are constantly looking for new voices, voices that we haven't heard from before. And I think part of that is kind of making, and going back to the other question as well, finding spaces where you are kind of celebrated for who you are in your own voice and your talents. And so I do think we're pretty mindful about that. I would echo everything that Sarah said as well, as in terms of the community, everybody kind of lifting each other up. I would also shout out Amy and Rue in the stand-up scene. They produce shows and are super funny, super talented friends of Scaries as well.
And Chandy.
And Shandy, yes.
Yeah.
They do the Florida Comedy Collective.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go back to the workshop for a second. So what are some of the things that people will learn tonight? I don't want you to give it all away for free.
Okay. Yeah,
obviously. But tonight is a character-based class. So how does that work? Because improv, you know, to me is like you're coming up with it on the spot. So you're not necessarily creating characters that you're going to use again and again. Mm-hmm. But you do sometimes, you know, you have the opportunity to do when it's appropriate, accents or, you know, different age groups or even different genders. Sometimes you're going to play somebody else. So does that fall into that category of creating characters?
You know, I think that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it that way. I think what I am interested in is more about point of view. And I think it's easy both kind of in comedy and just in life to kind of reduce characters to certain things that are more superficial. And I think that both the comedy gets better and the community gets better when you get a little bit deeper than that and start thinking about, oh, who is this person actually? And then once you have that, and we're talking about comedy here too, everything gets easier. It's easier to figure out, okay, how would they behave here? How would they behave there? And then you have comedy that feels authentic and lived in and is kind of, can maybe even inform some things about our world around us.
Oh.
That's kind of my philosophy.
So less of the shallow, tropey kind of characters, the dopey dad or the whatever. But again, so you're coming up with an improv character on the spot, right?
Yeah.
So how do you do that quickly? Is there some background work that you can do before you come up with a character? Like, have you already, do you pre-select, like, you've got a Rolodex of characters in your head?
Ooh, I think everybody has a little bit of like, oh, I like this character.
Yeah.
And I pull it out sometimes. I think so. I think sometimes you discover things along the way. And the more reps you do, the more comedy you watch, the more you're doing different types of comedy, even stand-up, you start to realize that there's more than meets the eye and that you have more to offer than just this one thing. So it might start with something as simple as, look at the craftsmanship of this chair. Wow, that is great. And that's shallow. It seems like kind of superficial.
Yeah.
But then you can start, as you start unpacking it, you're like, wait, what does this character actually value? Is it like, oh, artisanal detail? Okay, what is, if that's true, do they value beauty? Do they value art? Do they value tradition of putting this together. And so that's where the real fun and exploration happens that we sometimes skip across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it just flavor of wood that they like?
Right.
Yeah.
They're gnawing
the
on
taste.
It.
Taste. Yeah. Yeah. Taste. It turns out they're a beaver.
Oh.
Oh, the twist. I like the improv twist. Yeah. Thinking about that too in terms of performances and stuff. So I do not do improv,
yet.
But I write for eventually the bug will bite and it'll infect me like it has you because it is a pod person type of situation.
Exactly.
I was thinking about biases because I write for and I'm managing editor of the community paper. Mm-hmm. And so while we have a very specific mission and vision, which is only good news, which is nice because I don't do politics, I don't do crime. It's helped my state of mind quite a bit. But I still have these sort of internal biases, whether something is good or bad, and it affects how I cover things. You know, there are certain things that I won't or don't like to cover. The easiest one to talk about is chain restaurants, right? Like, it's not local, it's not, but it is. Like, oftentimes they're owned by a franchisee and stuff like that, but it's still something that I don't typically or want to write about. I was wondering when it comes to improv, specifically, if there's like those types of internal biases that you're like, oh, I'm probably never going to do something along these lines. Now, there's inappropriate things, obviously, that you're not going to do that, you know, either punching down or just bad comedy, I feel like.
Totally.
But are there other things that you try to or typically avoid just because of your own internal biases?
I mean, what comes off the bat into bad comedy or things that are inappropriate, like, for me, a white woman, I would say that it would be inappropriate for me to play any other race.
Oh, sure.
And that is like a quick, like, don't do that. Don't do accents outside of, you know, regional U.S.
Yeah.
And sometimes the audience really wants, you know, they're like, let's make this white lady do a Jamaican accent. And you, in the moment, just have to be a visitor from Jamaica that is has the same voice as yourself or something. Sometimes people are like, wouldn't it be funny if I made you do something you don't want to? And you have to figure out how to squeeze around not doing that. But that's such an interesting question of what are the things that are in the back of our head that are like subconsciously.
Even.
I think that I'm the way that I perform is shining the light on the other part of like, instead of staying away from things, I like to delve into what feels true to myself, quote, quote. But like the myself could be this character, or there's that famous book called Truth in Comedy, written by some IO folks way back when. If you sign up for an IO class in Chicago, you get the book.
What?
Yeah, so.
Book for free?
A twofer. Yeah.
Wow.
Is it a bargain?
For free or for $300.
Can I get it on Kindle? Can I get it audio?
You can.
Book?
Ooh, I wonder who's reading that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would like that.
And the part of truth in comedy is like if you're able to keep it real to the person with this, like Melissa was saying with the character workshop, if this is true, what else? I think also leads to like, diving deeper, but keeping it so that a real person who isn't trying to maliciously hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm thinking of internal biases, as I'm basically thinking of the opposite. What can I do to not hurt other people?
No, but I think that is in many ways a bias as well.
Yeah.
Right? Like that is something that you're basing, you're avoiding, you know, the opposite of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great answer, man. I was going to say, let me think. So, okay. One thing that I think about scenes that personally, I really try to work against is scenes where I'm only a mom, a sister, or a girlfriend. I've seen this happen several
times. Almost like Bechdel testy kind of.
Yeah. And I go back to the best kind of workaround I've ever seen somebody do is it was kind of what Sarah said, green improvisers, newer people to the scene that are just trying stuff out. And the guy walks onto the stage and says, "You're embarrassing me, Grandma." And this was, she was the oldest person in the class.
So it was
just like double things. But her move will stay with me forever. She said, I know I'm your grandmother, but I'm also president of these United States.
Yes.
And nice. I was wow. Like, yeah. Oh, well, that's a scene now.
Yeah.
Because I think, too, yes, relationships are always part of it. Relationships are vital to any improv scene. But I think specifically for women, we're not defined just by that.
By those roles, yeah.
Like that's status.
A
status like switch in improv. There's low status and high status.
Oh, okay.
A part of not punching down would be to have the character that might be in a typically marginalized group or anything, that they would be the low status character would end up in the high status position. So, you know, that's making an embarrassing grandma into the president of these United States. That's
these
very
United
high status.
States.
These ones right here.
Right.
Yeah.
These 50.
Let's take another break. But first, let's just talk about where people can find out more about the improv workshops and not only the one coming up on June 10th, but future ones. I'm assuming you're doing more.
Yeah.
Because you have no choice.
I'm bound to offer the workshops.
You're
really
obligated.
It's really just all I do is just workshop. So you can find out more information from Instagram or website. The Corner Gallery is through it where I offer those, and that's thecorner.gallery. But you could also follow me on Instagram at Melissa_H_Bailey. And I'll post it there too on my stories.
And the corner, let's talk a little bit more about places around town that do improv in the next. We're going to tease it.
Tease.
You
okay,
got to stay. And also, if you have any questions for any of us, you can text us at 407-646-2915. I've only gotten one or two texts ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
So we'll see.
You guys, will you please,
please don't text and drive, though.
Right.
Pull over to the side of the road, blocking traffic. Put
throw
on
the
your hazards.
Hazards. Yes.
Yep, because you really should.
Yeah.
We should use those more. They're just sitting there.
They're fun.
And they're fun. And they're just like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
We're all scared. Let's play A Touch of Class around the world. Let me see if I'm pronouncing this right. La la, la la la.
That sounds right to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
On WPRK, Winter Park, Florida.
Thank you.
You're listening to A Certain Degree.